You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or with our new friends over at Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Rommel. We're doing another exit interview today. If you want to hear our podcasts on Josh Richardson, Deion Waiters, Hassan Whiteside, Kelly Olynyk, Goran Dragic, Justice Winslow, and Bam Adebayo, you could find those in the archives over the past couple of weeks. But today, we're going to talk about James Johnson. And as always, we'll go through some of James Johnson's strengths, opportunities, what he can work on over the summer, and then answer some key questions about his future. Let's start with some of the numbers, though, David. James Johnson's stats last year, 7.8 points per game, down from the season before. 2.5 assists per game, down from the season before. 3.2 rebounds per game, down from the season before. 43.3% shooting, that's down from the season before. And then 21.2 minutes per game, guess, was that up or down from the season before, David? Down from the season before. But look, I mean, it's obviously a down season for James Johnson, but he was recovering from that sports hernia surgery that he had earlier in that year. Obviously, that made a huge impact on his season overall, and he just never was. He never really got in shape. He was never that active guy off the ball. He wasn't doing all the things that we were accustomed to seeing James Johnson doing. I thought that really took away from his season.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to A, either assess James's season properly, and B, grade him accurately as a result, because, you know, all of his stats are down, all of his production was down. He wasn't the aggressive version of the James Johnson that we've seen in the past, and so it's kind of hard to know whether or not James, you know, how he projects for next season, and again how to assess what he did last year, because so much of it was injury marred. Either he was out of games, he only played in 55 total games, 33 of which he started. Either he was not playing, or when he was playing, as you pointed out, his minutes were down. So as for pros, I mean, you know, I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what was most positive about James's season.
I had nothing. He got on the court again.
He had moments, and I think that's, honestly, I think that's the best thing that you can hang on to, is the fact that James Johnson, the potential is still there. And look, at 32 years of age, clearly there's not much of a ceiling for him. There's no way for him to get any better. He either has to get completely healthy, he has to maybe continue to lose a little bit of weight, and he has to continue to be aggressive. Some on all of those things are going to be more difficult from this point moving forward, just because of where he is in his life and in his career. So all we can hope for is that we'll continue to get enough flashes of James that remind us of the player that he was when Miami signed him to that long-term deal.
You used the word aggressive twice, and I think that's a really good word to use with James Johnson, because aggressive, when he's aggressive, he plays his best, but when he's a little too aggressive, that's when he really gets in trouble too. But I'd rather have James Johnson getting himself in trouble than the James Johnson we saw, this passive, stand-in-the-corner type James Johnson. Again, injuries, I get it. Like, he wasn't as mobile. He just simply wasn't. I mean, they were talking, I remember Eric Spoelstra talking about the fact that he basically had his entire, or was it Pat Riley in the exit interview? Mm-hmm. They've mentioned it several times, but where they went into his stomach and just messed with stuff. Like, your core as a basketball player is basically everything. Your core and your lower body, your leg strength, is basically everything. And so I get it. I get it with James Johnson, who needed to get in shape in the first place in Miami. Mm-hmm. So just taking even a little bit more away from him in that regard could really hurt him. As far as other positives, his three-point shot got better. He shot 33%, almost 34%.
Career high, almost three-point range. Yeah.
Close to a career high, yeah. I mean, and that was up from 30% the year before. We remember that his first year in Miami, his contract year, he shot 34% from three. So he got back to that contract year from. So that's good, right? If you have a James Johnson who's not able to get to the rim as much, not able to be as physical as he wants to be, all right, well, at least he's making the shots he's got to make, right? If he is just standing in the corner, at least he was making those shots, and he was. So that was good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cons that come with that three-point shooting, too, and I was hoping to save that a little bit, but I think we've opened that box. Let's just get into it. Per 36, his three-point shooting was the highest it's ever been throughout his career, 4.6 attempts per 36 minutes. So even though those numbers were down as far as per-game attempts, he was shooting more. 40% of his total shot attempts, period, were three-point shots. And so that's why you have less as far as rebounds and things of that sort. So I guess the discussion then, and maybe it's a question we could say for later, what's the best role for James Johnson? Is it tied into his aggressiveness? Is it tied into his overall health? Do we want a more mobile, aggressive Johnson that kind of goes all over the court, or do we want to delegate him to the three-point perimeter shot? You know, I don't know if there's an easy answer there.
No, I think that the way James Johnson played that first year in Miami is exactly how you want him to play, where, you know, he's not shooting 40% of his shots from three-point range, but when he's taking them, he's shooting them at a 34% clip, which is right about what we could expect from him. And when he's not doing that, he's setting a bunch of screens, he's involved in ball motion, he's doing all that stuff. That, to me, I think there's a really easy balance. And I do think that James Johnson naturally does that. I don't know that if you just play him at power forward, he will just go do stuff, right? I don't think that you have to really worry about James Johnson as far as getting himself involved. It's just making sure that the shooting clip is where it needs to be. And then just making sure that he's not doing dumb stuff, like trying these crazy, you know, kick-out passes behind the back or whatever. Just let him make sure he's in his lane, but he'll naturally just go do stuff. He is one of those guys where he's just on like 18 cups of coffee, you know? He can't stop moving, and I like that. That's how I play in a pickup. My pickup game at my best is James Johnson post-sports hernia surgery. I thought I would throw that in there.
That's probably pretty flattering, to be honest with you. I don't even know if you're at that level. I mean, as far as like chaotic motion, maybe?
Yes, no, exactly. Not really knowing what I'm doing. Like, I go set screens for people and they just wave me away because they don't want me there. That's me, 100%. The Heat were 5.6 points per 100 possessions worse than James Johnson on the court. I thought we could end the first segment with that. I mean, just, he wasn't good. And again, the injuries were a major factor, but he's going to have to get healthy. And we'll talk about that more when we talk about what he needs to do this summer. That's coming up next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. We'll talk about how much more James Johnson has left in the tank later on, but let's talk about what he needs to work on this summer. David, I think this one's pretty straightforward.
It's health, right? I mean, yeah. There's nothing else to it. So get much healthy. Of that ties into it, because we want to be able to see the quicker, more mobile, fluid version that constantly moves around, and that's a lot harder to do. I remember, what was it, Zach Lowe talking about that a couple of years ago, how much he loves the constant motion of James Johnson. It's so hard to see that when he's limited physically. So if there's a good, and look, we've mentioned this before, but if there's a positive byproduct of missing out in the playoffs, it's the fact that these players will have a larger, more extended period of rest. And if not just rest, but also the opportunity to continue to work on their games, on their physical selves, to get better, to get healthier, et cetera. So, I mean, the postseason can be a long grind, and you know, they weren't going to advance deep in the playoffs realistically anyway. No. So you might as well take advantage of that time off by doing something productive.
I thought you hit it on the head. He's 32 years old. He's not getting better. I mean, he's not going to show up next season all of a sudden as a 40% three-point shooter, right? He's not going to show up next season as some, you know, combination of Ben Simmons and Draymond Green. It's just not going to happen. So just get healthy.
Lose weight. I mean, all those weight, things, yeah. All those things will contribute.
Get in shape. Yeah, exactly.
He's looked heavier ever since signing the contract. And I wonder, too, if there was pressure there. Like, he played 73 games post-signing that contract. And I feel like, for a guy that's been the journeyman that Johnson's been, I feel like the contract was such a reward for him, a sign that Miami's front office, and they've said so publicly many times, that they believe in him and they believe in the player that he is and the kind of player that he can be, et cetera. So I wonder if there was pressure there, having signed a contract, for him to do a lot. I mean, he was voted as a captain and things of that sort. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that responsibility, especially for a guy who's never had that kind of role before. He's played in Toronto, Chicago, Sacramento, it's Memphis, and he's never been a go-to guy. He's never been expected to carry weight either emotionally or on the court, you know, as far as the production is concerned. So I imagine that probably took some out of him, and he's trying to play through that injury. I remember that much at least. And
at ages 29, 30, he never played more basketball games in a season than he did those first 2 years in Miami. 76 games his first year, 73 games in his second year. Before that, he only broke 70 games one time before that. So just the workload and just, you know, not only the workload of playing 70 plus games, but the workload of just being a Miami Heat basketball player.
Sure.
Which we know could be more than, say, if you're in Toronto or Sacramento or something like that.
Yes.
So I thought that, that to me, James Johnson could use that. It's just, man, he's got to get healthy. That's it. And stuff happens. Sports hernias happen. You just take the summer off, you know, just get your body right, maybe do some jujitsu or kickboxing or whatever the thing is that he does. Go ahead and do that stuff. Have fun. Take a vacation. Go to the Mediterranean. Eat, like, a lot of fish and, like, healthy oils. I don't know. Just do good stuff for your body and then come back next season and get in shape. All of his numbers were down. If he could get back, like, you don't need a lot from James Johnson, but if he could get back to, like, 10, 11 points per game, you know, three or four, you know, closer to four assists per game, make sure those turnovers are coming down a little bit, and then shoot at that 34% clip from three-point range. That's it. We're not asking a lot from James Johnson. I think that would be perfect for next season.
I don't know. I still think of that as asking a lot for James Johnson. I know his harshest critics would say, look, he was a journeyman for a reason because he could never have these kinds of things. He could never do this consistently, et cetera. And so maybe we just, you know, maybe we bought a bad version of a bad player, and or a good version of a bad player, rather.
A depreciating asset, for sure, right? On the other side of 30 now.
Yeah, I mean, I still believe in what he can do. Like, I think there is opportunity there for him, and I think, I mean, when you're looking at our roster, he's as good a player as there is as far as his versatility is concerned, and I mean, we kind of need that, because maybe if you don't have a lot of high-ceiling players, and this roster does not, obviously, the very least, you can have people that can do a number of things and hopefully do them well. And last year, he just wasn't able to do those well, you know, do those things well. But he can rebound, he can defend, he can score, he can get to the rim. I mean, if he can continue to shoot better, it's a quote unquote five tool player. That's all you can really hope for.
And he's a useful player.
Yes,
he shouldn't be getting paid $14 million a year.
Probably not.
But he's a useful player, and I think he comes off the bench next year. I think that's ultimately what happens. You know, with Justice Winslow getting more ball handling responsibilities, that's going to take the ball out of James Johnson's hands more than any other guard, any more than Waiters, Dragic, anybody else. It'll take the ball out of James Johnson's hands more. So maybe he won't be that point forward that he has been. Mm-hmm. But he could still, like you said, he's got all these other things that he could do. That's fine. He's probably just going to be this energy guy off the bench that you're paying like a high-level starter, unfortunately, for the Heat. But that sort of starts touching on what we want to get to next. Could the Heat trade him? He's one of these three guys. When we talk about James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Deion Waiters, these long-term deals that go past 2020, if Pat Riley wants his two max cap slots, he's got to get rid of one of those guys. And we'll talk about whether or not the Heat could do that with James Johnson this summer. We'll do that next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. David, can the Heat trade James Johnson this summer? What do you think his value is?
I think it's pretty low, to be honest with you. I think the age is a big concern. And, you know, coming off the injury-marred year that he had, there's not much that you can sell on the potential of James Johnson. Again, when you look at players, either they're proven veterans that have something to offer, or they're an expiring contract, neither of which applies to James, or there's a young player there with untapped potential that you can possibly hope to exploit or figure or carve out in some way. And James has none of those things. He's a proven player. You know where you're getting from him. We talked about it at length in the first two segments, but he's older and less capable of doing those things well and productively and consistently. So you look at that contract, you look at that number that he's owed over the next two seasons, and you have to wonder who would want a player like James Johnson. He's not the missing piece, as versatile and quality, you know, as good as he is and as much as he has to offer, he's not a missing piece for any kind of team. And I just don't know that anybody would want to invest that kind of money for any reason whatsoever. I mean, as much as he could contribute to a title contender or a playoff contender, and I think that's the case, you're not going to pay him $14 million to do so. Why not invest in somebody, you know, much younger than that with the potential to reach that level, rather than somebody who's already proven what he can be and doesn't have anywhere else to go?
I think it's a similar situation to Deion Waiters. Maybe a trade deadline thing happens. Somebody gets hurt, you know, on a title contending team, needs a quick fix. James Johnson's available. They have, you know, an expiring contract that they could send back of a player who they paid maybe in the summer of 2016 that they don't necessarily want anymore. Something like that. But, I mean, that's a very specific situation that we're kind of looking at, right, to trade James Johnson. And so, yeah, I don't think James Johnson's very tradable. And the best case scenario for the Heat is that he gets healthy this summer, bounces back, becomes a useful player for them, and eventually his contract expires. And that's sort of where it's at. And
he's owed even more in 2020-21. I mean, I didn't realize that. Yeah, he's
well, and that's his player option here.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I'm pretty sure he's exercising that one.
Oh, for sure. All right, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. You can connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes. Yeah!